Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jaroslyn and Tanea.
Subscribers, I got it. Thanks, it's finest. Also known as a buster. Always talking about what he wants and just sit on his broken. So, no, I don't want your number. No. I don't want to give you mine. No. I don't want to meet you nowhere. No. Don't want none of your time. Listen, somebody said that they don't make music.
We watch
like that.
Too much TV. Season 6, scrubs. Episode 12 with Jay and Tanea Brown.
And best friend
all day long with me.
And me.
Hi, guys. Welcome back. We watch Too Much TV, Season 6, Episode 12. We are your favorite TV binging best friends.
Jerusalem
and Tanea.
Yes, we sing.
Thank you guys for sticking with us, following us on social media at We Watch Too Much TV. That is T-E-A with the letter V, and liking and subscribing and leaving us comments. It's been and great, great replies to our interview last show with Michael Townsend.
Yes. And shout out to our Threads family. I know you're a Twitter girl. I'm a Threads girl. Our Threads has been really, really, really popping.
Ooh, I love it.
Thank you so much for all of the Threads love.
Organic engagement.
Yes. Yes, we get a lot of Threads love, especially for my hate watch that I have, but we'll talk about that later.
Yes.
But yes, welcome back to a brand new episode. How are you, best friend?
I'm doing well. I mean, we are in now the midpoint of Black History Month. We just had a nice little Valentine's Day weekend, real smooth and chill with me and the baby. How about yourself?
You know, just me and with my son of fur descent, just warming up, staying busy and trying to watch TV when I can. But I'm also watching a lot of old stuff. So, yes, I'm just keeping up with the TVs.
Period. And then and also in honor of let's keep our Black History Month homage going. Who are some of your Black icons? I know for one, it's Diana Ross. Tanea loves
her. I love her. I love her.
I love Queen Latifah. Of course, we could say like, you know, those that are no longer with us, because I also with Prince, Whitney Houston.
Michael D. Jackson,
period.
And as messed up as Joe is, I don't think the Jackson 5 would have been who they are without Mr. Joe
absolutely.
Jackson.
I think we'll see more of that. I mean, I definitely think they're gonna humanize him a bit with, especially with Coleman Domingo playing him.
Yes, when he said, I told you what to think.
Oh my gosh,
you know what, Coleman?
So good. But I got invited to a screening for when the movie's coming out, and you got to dress like, you know, Michael Jackson.
Oh, you please get an outfit. We're going to put it on the page because I gotta see what Miss Billie Jean wears.
I actually got a plus one, so if you do want to come to Atlanta to watch the Michael Jackson,
oh my gosh,
movie, we can dress up in our Jackson garb. And
when is it?
I have to hold on. I put it in my calendar.
All right, you'll send me the date. We'll talk about it offline.
Yes, it's April 24th. So if you're able to come.
Oh, I'll be away for work. But
that's nothing to be mad.
Yes, I'll be away working for work. So yes.
But yeah, there's so many Black icons, but definitely Queen Latifah, Tupac, I like love him. We love James Baldwin.
Yes.
Very, very much.
Miss
so.
Nina Simone. And shout out to, I'm going to ask this question every episode. Queen Latifah, who does your hair?
Every time.
She was just at the All-Star game with her wife and her son.
Yeah.
Not a piece of hair.
Never. Not once. Even when she played Cleo.
Yeah. Those were the best straight backs I've seen in my life.
You know? So, but shout out to our Black icons. I mean, I feel like Black History Month for us is every single day. We have Black History Life. But it is nice that there is a month designated to the world, at least getting on the same page with recognizing that and paying homage to that and honoring that and celebrating that. So thank you very much. And on that note, because I do got some Black history all up in my selections this week. So let's get into our weekly grab. Okay, best friend, what do you got?
Okay, so first of my weekly grab is season 2 of my new favorite show, Extracted. I would like to go on the show, but be one of the people in the house and not in the woods. Okay. So for those of you who don't know, it's on Fox TV. There's basically 10 or 11 teams of 3 people. There's one person that goes to live in the woods with no electronics, but the camera filming them, and a lot of scarcity in terms of food and surviving items. They basically have to make it in the wild. And each team has 2 people inside of headquarters who are making decisions for them and who are helping them navigate to win ultimately the $250,000. Now, this season, they did have Sandra on Survivor and her daughter as the people in headquarters. And the daughter's fiance is actually out in the wild. Sandra was like, every time, because I've won Survivor twice, he was like, I could do that. I could do that. So she said, all right, let's put the money where the mouth is. Let's see you do it. So you have that. You have 2 twin sisters. Well, one twin is in the wild. One twin sister and her daughter in the house. You have 3 brothers where one is in the woods. 3 sisters with one in the woods. You have this Black mom and aunt with this Black guy who is just in a lot of pain. He had a lot of surgeries from football, and the mom just seems a little too like harsh on him and not very forgiving of him. But it's just my favorite show because you really think about it. Like one episode, the last episode, there was this girl who I knew she was not gonna make it past the third day because she just was complaining. Her parents were being, her mom and her sister were being very conniving. They were like, she just needs water. She just needs fire. She just needs a sleeping bag. They went above and beyond to give her those things. And she still was like, I'm alone. I have no one to talk to. I'm so alone. Mind you, everybody in the headquarters hates the mom and sister because they realized that they lied about something and they got a reward taken away from other families. And they were trying their best to help her. But she just hates being alone in the woods. So she didn't make it long. Yeah. The first person that got extracted was this 20-year-old college boy. He lasted for 12 hours.
That's not bad.
It's not bad at all. And then he really did it for his dad. His dad looks like he's very hard on him. And he was honest.
Y'all wouldn't have had me pass 4 hours.
But I would never go. Exactly.
Yeah.
I would never even be there. He said, you know, my dad doesn't really think that I'm a man. So I did this to show him I'm a man. Cut to 10 hours later. Mom, dad, get me out of here. So it's just a really good, entertaining show. It shows you how people think when it comes to survival. It also shows you like how far you could go. And would you take it? Like if your family member said, you cannot, like if I don't say extract me, but you see them dehydrated, you see them cold, you see them shivering. When do you actually like give in? So I love it. Season 2 is better than season 1. I'm rooting for everybody Black, the young boy named RJ. I hope he wins. And yes, it's a really good show. Extracted season 2. What's first on your weekly grab?
First on my weekly grab is some Black excellent history. Period. That every day we shine. Okay, so y'all know I'm a journalist. I was recently writing an article about these Black farmers in Colorado who we've been kind of hearing about their story for like in recent years because they are dealing with a lot of extreme racism on this 1,000-acre plot of land that they bought to start Freedom Ranches, Freedom Acre Ranch, husband and wife. And so when I was writing this story, it mentioned that they were in Jordan Peele's documentary, High Horse, The Black Cowboy, and it's on Peacock. And we love Peacock, right? Even though I wish they would give me another discount, but it's all right. So first of my weekly grab is High Horse, The Black Cowboy, Jordan Peele's documentary. He also appears in the documentary, which is something that he doesn't do since he's gotten into filmmaking. He does take the behind the scenes role. But in this one, he really wanted to explain his passion for cowboys and even just, Black cowboys. And if you could remember his movie, Nope, it was around the theme of the Black cowboy. So this documentary unravels the real, true history of the American cowboy, which has always been black.
Yes, I knew that since Glenn Turman, your baby.
Oh, you know
that whole thing about black cowboys.
You know my ex-husband, Glenn Turman, is in the documentary with, you know, we had a feud back in the day because of Glenn, but Pam Grier, that's my sis, love her. She's in it because she was going to play a black female cowgirl in a movie that he was trying to make back in the 80s. But, you know, they was ahead of their time. So anyways, there's a lot of celebrities appearances in there. Tina Knowles is in it. Big Boy. Oh, yeah. Pimp C and Bun B, not Big Boy. Bun B from UGK. Is also in it. Rick Ross is also in it. They're really just, it's because it gets deep. It's beyond just the black cowboy. So it takes us back to the history of the term cowboy, which derived from cow hand. The cow hand is who was, you know, bringing all the cows together. So if they were white, they were called a cow hand, of course. But then there were clearly that was the type of jobs that they would give to a lot of Black people, to the slaves. So they were called cowboys. So the term cowboy technically comes from Black cowboys, Black men who were working with cows. It discusses the Hollywood portrayal of cowboys being white and completely erasing the Black men, despite the first ever film being a Black man on a horse. So if you can remember, if you watched the movie Nope, At the beginning, Kiki Palmer is talking about how the first film ever made, like this is what they used to create what is now known as Hollywood when they started creating films. The first thing they ever recorded was a Black man on a horse. It's like a 2-second clip. And that was what became the blueprint for creating films. It's a Black cowboy. So when you get into now the 50s, like my grandfather, you remember my grandfather, rest in peace.
And
he loved Westerns. When he would come spend time with us, he would always put the TV on Westerns and he would just watch Westerns. And these are all the old Westerns from like the 50s and the 60s. And they're always white. It's always the same cowboys and Indians. And there was one really popular show, whatever popular show, you just watch a documentary, but that was based off of Bags Reeves. I'm messing up. I know it's Reeves. He was this really like kind of vigilante black cowboy that was going around doing contracts with, you know, the law enforcement to capture people. He was a real badass. And so they took that story and created the show around it. But of course, they're not going to put a Black man in this role. So they put a white man. But this white man is, the whole story is derived from a Black person. And you take that and that becomes this whole idolized image of what the American cowboy is. Now they put it as the Marlboro man, the cigarettes. All of this is derived from a whitewashed Vance Reeves. I got to look up the actual name. But yes, he is a Black man, a Black cowboy. So then it even gets into the racist history behind land ownership. And that's where you get into that couple I was just talking about at Freedom Acre Ranch in Colorado and what they're dealing with from just racist neighbors, just the harassment, the intimidation. And then it goes up to law enforcement that is in on it with the locals. So they just are torturing these people. They're killing their livestock. They're constantly trying to get warrants on them, get them arrested for doing nothing but just farming. Then the Freedmen's Bureau, remember the Freedmen's Bureau was created after the Civil War to guarantee that the Black people get the 40 acres and the mule that they were promised. But we all know that didn't happen. Absolutely. They break up the Freedmen's Bureau and they become what we know now today as the USDA, which is responsible for helping farmers and giving out loans. Every year, farmers apply for loans through the USDA and they get them. But Black farmers, they wait years to just get one loan. One. So just disproportionately the way they're disenfranchised. Then Black rodeos. You know, rodeos are a thing that is known in country culture and, you know, of course, like white. But the technically rodeos started because these back, you know, the cowboys that now once, you know, the equipment and technology and started coming in, and they didn't need people to wrangle up the cows anymore. So now these guys that have all these talents of where they used to show it off and how they could wrangle horses and do that, they start these thing called rodeos to show off their skills. And they were the first to do it. Mm. But of course that gets whitewashed. Then the racism at the Kentucky Derby, that's where Miss Tina Knowles comes in, because she started talking about how she was even experiencing racism. People didn't want her walking the red carpet. All just racism. And you know, you look at the
Kentucky. And they wonder why we have a Black History Month, because y'all don't tell us about us. Exactly. And y'all don't value us, but y'all want to take everything from us. So give us 28 days to hype us up.
Because you got to watch stuff like this, where it's just like, wow, like, we grew up, people talk about it in the documentary, where they didn't grow up seeing themselves as cowboys or identifying with it. So they didn't even care to, you know, immerse themselves. That's why it's like when you get Beyonce coming out with a cowboy Carter and getting all these beautiful Black people to dress up like cowboys and cowgirls to come out to the concert to tap back into our history that was literally stolen from us. From the country music, even line dancing, best friend, line dancing, because we were planning a trip to Austin and I wanted to do line dancing. We started line dancing, Black people. That's all in the documentary. So
you can tell by the electric slide.
Yeah, it's so good. It's beautiful documentary, beautiful history lesson, a perfect watch for this month. Y'all know I'm a history nerd, so I was all into it, but it's really, really good. High Horse, the Black Cowboy on Peacock. Okay. Mm. What is next on your weekly grab?
Shout out to Black people one more time. except for on this show. Right. Maybe right. One or two Blacks I like, but they don't do what's right on this show. So every season, I hate watch Love is Blind. I think the last season I watched in full was like season 3. And then maybe season 4, I think when Tiffany and Brett got married, our first like all Black couple that is mm-hmm. are still married. And every time I watch it, I get through 2 episodes and it just annoys me. Season 10 was no different.
Yeah.
I watched 3 episodes and then I went to Threads and got most of the DL about who picked who, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so they're in Ohio this season. They have a girl who surely enough should have went on Y'all Fix My Life and not Love is Blind. She has a lot of childhood trauma and personal trauma that I feel like she brings up in every conversation. And it's prevalent enough that you needed to deal with that before trying to meet someone you've never seen. Kids, because she was adopted, she is of Asian descent. She was raised by all white families, so you cannot tell she is of Asian descent. And she is very adamant about not having kids or wanting to meet her birth family because she doesn't know what genetics she'll pass down. I wanted to also say, girl, you know, genetic testing is a real thing. But she, you can tell she has a lot of trauma. So she's kind of annoying. There is a 3-way love triangle with Black people. There's a Black guy named Kevin. There is Kia and there is Taylor. Now, as the show goes, you're supposed to date around. Everybody goes and they keep dating. Then they go from a top 3, top 2. Then they make their decision. Now, Taylor was telling everybody in the woman quarters, that's my husband. That's my man. I already know. Mm-hmm. She was asking people if they were you dating him. And the girl he's dating, very demure, very classy. Eating her chicken or her fruit, slicing up her water. Like, just being very, writing in her journal, minding her business. Then, when he tries to be honest and says, you know, I am dating somebody else, Taylor walks out. F this. I'm not going to be number 2. I'm leaving. I can't take it. Da-da-da-da-da. Goes to the girl like, I think it's you. He's a good man. Hugs him. Then goes to the producers like, I'm out. I'm leaving. And they're like, but he didn't say he wasn't choosing you. He was just trying to have an honest conversation about him having a good first date, but him still having strong feelings for you. Totally calmed down. She's like, oh, I OD. That was a lie. She changes her mind. She doesn't leave. She tells the girl, my bad. I'm sorry. I'm back in it. Then Kia ends up being the one to be like, Kevin, you are not ready for marriage. You are not ready for this experiment. You do not seem like a sure man. And I'm gonna let you go because you just seem like you're all over the place. So that was that. The last one that I mean, I actually should give him my piss poor. I'm gonna give him a little bit right now. Devontae and Brittany. Brittany is half black, half white, but once again, we are in Ohio. She is of mixed descent. Devontae is half black, half white. His mom is white. Her mom is black. Devontae assumes Brittany is blonde hair with blue eyes. Devontae sees her. And Brittany is beautiful, is not attracted to her. He does not like this girl because she is not white. Now, has he said it? No. Is he acting like it? Yes, excuse me. And he is very annoyed by her. And you can tell they are probably not going to make it to wedding week and will break up beforehand. It got kind of annoying after that. And then the couple that I really did like, Ashley and Alex, they just give making all the way. Good for them. But it's just. I just don't see why we need the show anymore. That's why I don't want to give them more than three episode watches. It just, I'm just tired. I feel like if they can cancel the queer ultimatum, then they need to cancel Love is Blind. Like, I don't, it's not, it's not. It worked a couple times. It's not blind. Move on. So yeah, Love is
Gotta
Blind.
stop watching it.
Yes, I
Don't need
always
to
hate, I
watch the
hate
first
watch
three
it.
episodes.
I hate watch it. I
Because
was like,
I
you know
just check
what?
out completely. Only thing I'll just if it makes it to social media, like I saw the one with Devontae saying, I never dated something like that before, a half black woman. Mind you, I'm like, aren't you half black?
He's literally said that's something I've never dated.
Yeah, like
And then
what?
he was so disappointed. First of all, Brittany is beautiful, gorgeous. She's a labor nurse. She's very smart, very driven. When I say Devontae is not cute at all, he is very, very taken aback by the fact that she is has color in her, not even fully black. She is half black, half white, just like him. But you can tell by his energy, he hates that she is not blonde hair Brittany with blue eyes during Black History Month. How dare they? Okay, what's next on your weekly grab? Because Devontae got me mad.
Yeah. Next on my weekly grab is the new modernized version of Fear Factor, House of Fear. It is based on the original series that we used to watch from the early 2000s. The new host is Johnny Knoxville. It is not old, bald Joe Rogan. You're seeing Johnny Knoxville be completely himself, and it's
I love
always good
him.
to
I
see.
love him.
We love Johnny Knoxville. So it's just such a full circle gig from his start on Jackass to now he's hosting this new Fear Factor. The contestants live in a house together and compete in challenges. So if you remember the original Fear Factor, it wasn't like that where they lived in a house. It was just each episode was different contestants and different challenges. But this one, it's like, it kind of takes on that, reality show that we know with like the challenge, Big Brother, Survivor, where it's the same people living in the house and then each week somebody gets eliminated. But this one, it's like it's really loosely based on everyone's fears, from snakes to mice to heights to being buried alive. You see them get buried in cement, claustrophobia because they have to get inside of a plastic like bag and get all the air sucked out and then they're only given a tube to breathe. It's crazy. Horses. One girl had a fear of horses. You got to ride a horse. Yeah. So this one, of course, because of the setup, there are alliances. I'm Team Blake, period. He's on his own team with the fellow gay, and he upset the bros by selecting Tyler for the elimination game, and she ended up going home. But I feel like if Blake didn't pick Tyler and did what the bros were telling him to do, he would have been a pushover and they would have eventually, voted him out. And he knew that. He was like, no, I'm gonna do what I wanna do. And I'm Team Blake through and through. Again, each week is different, so you never really know what the challenge is gonna be. But because it's like just now coming back after 20 years, I think it's interesting. I think it could be appealing to a new generation
I was
and
gonna
people.
ask, how do you like the new twists and compared to like different people and like they never stayed the night? How do you like the more reality like take of it?
I like it because it adds to the drama because
Got it.
now you're seeing them have to deal with each other every single day. So that's what creates the different relationship dynamics. But the challenges itself are, are different from like, you know, on the challenge, the show on MTV, it like you really got to be physically fit. These
Okay.
ones, like one girl is like, you know, she big curvy girl, like, so these are some people are old. These challenges aren't so much about you got to be the most physical. It's really just about facing your fear. So that's what makes it different. And so even though it's that aspect of them being in a house together, it still just is different from what we're seeing with other challenge-based shows. So yeah, I think it's worth checking out. And we again, we love Johnny Knoxville. We want to keep him employed. So check it out. Fear Factor, House of Fear, it's on Hulu.
Yes.
What's last on your weekly grab?
Last on my weekly grab is a show that I don't think is going to get a second season because I started
Oh
watching it and
no.
realized it started in 2023. And it just kept popping on, you know, on Hulu. It would be like, we think you would like. And it was called Secret Chef. So I was like, let me see what this is about. And I do like it. They were smart.
They knew you.
So
They know you.
they know me. They really know me. So basically, it's the cooking show. It's 10 chefs. They all get aliases in the beginning. So one is Chef Kumquat, one is Chef Macaron, one is Chef Pizza, one is Chef Kale. But none of the chefs know their aliases. They only know their real names. So
Okay.
each week they do a cooking challenge in their secret quarters. One of them was like, you have to cook a meal with all of the colors that come by. Another one was like, you have to make mac and cheese, but the person who won the mini challenge has to cook it. So they all cook one meal and then they all taste each other's meals, but they don't know who cook it, and then they blind test it. So they grade each other based on presentation, taste,
Okay.
and execution, but they don't know who cooked what until the end.
And none, and so they don't know their own personal alias because
So they know who that, like, so Chef Kale knows is Chef Kale, but none of the other chefs know is Chef Kale. They think Chef Kale is Anthony. They don't know which one is Macaron. They don't know their names, but they
right.
don't know their aliases. And so and it's some
Oh,
home
okay.
chefs, some social media chefs, some professional chefs. And so when they get the feedback, it'll say Chef Kale said, Chef Macaron said, Chef Donut said. So they don't know who made it, and then they blind rate them.
Okay.
And then whoever gets the lowest rating goes home. And then what they do is they'll stand outside and they have this cute little the host is a cartoon chef hat called Chefy, and she is shady. She be like, I'm not going home. I live in the TV. Well, one of y'all going home. And she just gives them all the things to do. And so what happens is after the challenge, she'll be like, Chef Donut, you were rated the lowest. You're going home. If you're Chef Donut, step aside. And so then it's revealed that who Chef Donut is. So I like that part of it because it's honest, like tasting. There's no alliances really, because you don't know. The purpose is you don't want to know who the
Yeah,
aliases
I
are.
like, yes.
It's like you don't want to know who the aliases are. And then one of them, they even had a tag team where they didn't even know who the other person was, and they had to kind of write notes. And then when they won, they couldn't even share that they won together. Chefy was like, the winner is Chef Macaron and Chef Donut. Don't express it. So they can't even show that they won because they're going to give away the alias. And giving away the alias can make you lose at the end. I have 2 episodes left, but it's such an interesting cooking show
Yeah.
because I like that you don't know who you're. Now, some of them
I
have
like
figured it
that.
out. Like, there's an Indian girl who uses a lot of spices and she talks a
Right.
lot. So she gives away a lot of her clues. Like, she doesn't do a lot of dipping sauces. And then she had keep saying, like, I hate dipping stuff. I just hate it. It doesn't sound right. It's like, so it's just a lot of people pick up on stuff.
Yeah.
Or when they make an egg one time and they do another egg, Chef Donut was like, I already know who Chef Kale is because that egg is a very specific egg. And they'll mess with you like, I know your alias. I know your alias. Some of them are right, some of them are dead wrong. Because at the end, they'll be like, Chef Kale, please step to the front. And they'd be like, oh, we didn't know it was you. Yes. So it's a really, really good show. I like that they blind test each other. It's a twist. I feel like there's so many cooking shows. It's
Yeah.
really hard to make it fun. But
Right.
I hope it comes back. Because it was a really good show, but I only saw that it had one season and it was
I don't know. Did
the
that one season come out last year?
one it's only on 2023 and I only saw
Oh
one
no, it's
season.
done.
You gonna stop, okay?
It's done. If they had one season in 2023,
Yes, I was
yeah.
like, I wish
And
they
you just watched it. You're 2 years to 3 years too late. Oh, it's okay.
I know. Come on, it was season one, but that's my fault because I watched season one 3 years
It's
later.
okay. It's okay. We got the better luck next time, 'cause ain't nothing topping next level chef.
No, that's the show. That is the
Period.
show. What's
But
last on your weekly
last on
grab?
my weekly grab is just a little bit more of some Black excellence. It's The Burbs on Peacock with Kiki Palmer. She is the executive producer, and it is a play off of the 1989 movie called, of the same title, starring Tom Hanks. So you see Kiki Palmer playing a suburban housewife in Hinckley Hills, and she is, a new mom. The baby is fresh infant baby, and she's extremely suspicious about this eerie Victorian house across the street where a girl named Allison was murdered by her parents 20 years ago and allegedly buried in the basement. Some single white man moved into the house and he's also acting very strange. They see him going to the backyard with a shovel. They see him having a bonfire allegedly, but it's like, why are you have burning a fire in your backyard? Also, her husband also clearly has a secret that he's hiding about his ties to Allison, the girl who was murdered. And it's hard to find info online or at the local library where it's clearly the town is trying to cover up what happened in that house in 2005. So Kiki is determined to find out what happened and uses her suburban neighbors for help. So it's actually really funny and quirky, but a mystery thriller. So I think it's cute. I also like that, Kiki is in an interracial relationship. The husband is very like white and like British. And Kiki is literally just herself. I like that she is, very the way she talks, like her little mannerisms. And so it's really cute because it's like you don't often get to see that where it would be an interracial couple like that. Because it's like, if a white guy like that is going to get with a black woman, I don't know if he's going to be with a super, super duper black woman the way
And
Kiki
Kiki is
is in
Kiki.
this
And
show.
we shout out to Kiki Palmer this Black History Month, okay? She gonna give
Yes.
you Kiki no matter where she is.
All the time. All the time. So yeah, and again, she is the EP. So she's just showing you how multifaceted she is. She's an actress, she's a singer, she's a dancer, executive producer. And
She
we're here
does
for
it
all of
all.
it. So shout out to Kiki Palmer, a Black queen this Black History Month. Period dot. And that's our weekly grab. If you think anything we missed or we should watch, you want to suggest it. Tell us on social media, follow us at We Watch Too Much TV. That is TEA with the letter V.
V.
And like and subscribe and rate and review, please. So yeah, I think we kept it real light. So we get, well, actually, no, Tanae, you already started dragging somebody. So we might as well go on and get into this segment because today it had already started it early. So let's get into our piss poor performance. Okay, best friend. I think you already gave us one,
Just
but
a
did you want to
mini.
expand on that, or do you have someone else you want to drag?
This is a very light drag because that Love Is Blind drag was a super big drag. Devontae, I'm gonna drag you forever because you internal racism is real. This is just an overconfident drag. Mr. Michael from season 5 of Next Level Chef. It was
Oh,
time for the home chefs.
yes.
And you know how they give you the like promo B-reel and you kind of can tell who's gonna go home first by the edit that the producers give them. So he is a professional dancer. He went viral years ago with like I think a Tennessee cheer team, and they thought he was a security guard. And then he started doing the same dances. And I've seen the video. He went super, super viral. So he makes it to the show. I think the thing was they was in the basement and they were like, you have to cook something that you know with like regular leftover food. He made the nastiest chicken masuka. He made something I ain't never heard of in
He
my
was so
life.
confident.
But yeah, overly. I got this. Where's the wine? When he said that, and then Gordon put his hand in his head, like,
The
he was like, where's the wine, guys? Like, I know I got this in the bag. Let me get ready for next level.
I
Let me
weep.
just cha cha cha, cha cha cha. Like, he
That.
was really done
Yes.
early. They were just like, the
Yeah,
taste is not.
no.
I'm not dragging him as a person. Sometimes you just gotta be a little humble,
Yes.
especially in a competition like this with some amazing chefs that you do not know. You could not tell Mr. Michael, the dance man, that he was not making it to the
He
top
was so
15.
confident. He was so
I
confident. It was
got this.
actually, that was so funny. That was like a good comedic relief because
It was so
he was so confident
good.
that he was going to go to that next level, and he legit like went home. It was like, yeah, buddy. Yeah, I actually with the home chefs, with the three that ended up going, I was not surprised. I knew, but from the first to the last episode,
Same.
especially the black guy, I was like, buddy, you was not, you're not. And then
Yeah,
the
them
older woman
lasagna
was,
rolls. What was
yeah,
you rolling?
and the one with the pink streak in her hair, because it was like she kept, it was clearly her flavors were off. Like, because every challenge they kept saying, like, you know, something was off with the flavor. So by the time with the third one, I was like, she ain't making it. Because, girl, yeah, it's just not. But yeah, again, nobody is going to top Next Level Chef, best cooking competition show in the world, period. Done.
Listen, period, point the blank. Who you dragging this week?
Okay, so I got two. The first one, I just want to sincerely apologize, best friend, because I know that this woman means a great deal to you. We have talked about her greatly. She's actually gotten our yes. So,
I really love her and
and
I
I
wish
do
she
want
was
to
single.
say it's not solely her by herself getting this piss poor, but she is at the top of the list. Kristen Kiesch, our amazing host and winner of Top Chef, right?
Yes, she did one Top Chef.
Okay, so we love you. Damn. Damn. But we get to see different perspectives of some of our favorite celebrities in different shows, particularly this one, Traitors. And my issue with Traitors, and even I'm throwing in Beast Games, I've talked about Beast Games this season as well. There's a level of unconscious bias in reality competition shows where oftentimes you see that by the middle of the competition, ain't no more black people left. Literally. And so this season of Traitors, it's like it's they're all gone. You saw we saw Monet Exchange got murdered. Rob, he got voted out. They thought he was a traitor. He wasn't a traitor. Candace got voted out after she voted a not, you know, she threw in Rob's name because she said she didn't want to vote for Lisa. Granted, I never agreed that she should have did that, but still, I didn't think it was that serious for her now to get pointed out. But she did. And so what you saw after that happened was Kristen sitting down with Eric. And even in that exchange, you could see that Kristen looks to Eric. And I do think it is because of their Asian heritage, where you could tell Kristen is kind of turning to him to want to hear more from him to, you know, they could come up with their ideas together. And you see both of them be so adamant against Rob being a traitor. And because, according to Kristen, quote unquote, there's no way that sweet, sweet man. And because we all know as viewers that he is a traitor, it's just now you're able to see. And it's like, what is Rob really doing that has people so convinced that he's not a traitor? Other than
Acting stupid.
just yes, being a charming white guy and playing and dumbing himself down, even though he's clearly very smart. So I saw a tweet that said they should make people watch traitor episodes and unconscious bias training sessions. And honestly, it's so true. And you saw that Thursday with Kristen and Eric and the lot of the group. It does look like that one chick, I'm forgetting her name, but like the British type girl. It does look like she's catching on to Rob. But
Oh,
as of
Maura
right,
from Love Island.
yes, but as of right now, we just saw this last episode. They are all looking every type of way but at Rob. Literally, they're looking at Steven and Tyra, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And Johnny, I'm like, oh my gosh. On top of the fact that there's no black people left, so now we're watching this less diverse show. We still got some diversity in there, but it's just no black people, you know, and it's Black History Month now. And the fact that we know who the traitor is, now he's brought in Eric. And Eric is now not being a great trader. So things are start, he's starting to look fishy. And nobody is still looking at Rob. Are y'all serious? Even after Candace gave y'all a hint when she voted for him twice. It's just like, guys. So, Kristen, you got to get my piss poor. I am sure because we love you so much and we know that that's not you. I am sure that as she is watching this back, it is now helping her open her eyes. And that's all that, that's really what unconscious bias is, right? It's just, it's unconscious. So I'm hoping that now it's a learning moment for everyone, because it is ridiculous how a Black person can just do nothing. Like, even remember with Peppermint accidentally saying like a traitor and whatever, and
They
who,
ran with that.
Kate Trishelle, but yeah, Trishelle ran with that, got Peppermint out of there. Like, every season you're always seeing just the a Black person could just do the smallest minor mistake, slip up, and they get their ass the fuck out of here. But then it's the different for other people. So it's just not cool. And that's, you know, that was my little Black history rant. Now on to some more Black excellence, but she do gotta get dragged. Miss Tyra Iconic Banks. She is an icon. We love her down. Icon, legend. Okay. But baby girl, this new reality check documentary that went behind the scenes of America's Next Top Model did not redeem. Remember, we're all thinking like, okay, is Tyra going to redeem herself? Because she's been getting dragged for years as younger generations are now going on Netflix and binging these old, you know, the old seasons of Top Model that we, you know, me and Tanae, we grew up, we were there. So we're not
We
rewatching.
watch it in real time. So a lot of this is going to
But
be present to us.
when you rewatch it, like as they're showing clips from the show on this documentary, I'm like, oh my God, yes, this is bad. It's actually really hard to watch, best friend, at times where it's like, it was so racist. It was so body shaming. It was so, one girl got sexually assaulted, best friend, and they made it look like she just cheated on her boyfriend and had to call the boyfriend, tell him she cheated. Mind you, the girl is like, I was completely blackout drunk. I woke up the next day not even remembering what happened. And so the guy, of course, took advantage of that. But this is all on camera. And then now what you see, because remember the girl, she's only, remember these girls are only like 19 years old.
Yeah,
Think
they
about
were
all the
very
dumb
young.
shit you
They were
did when
very
you were
young.
19. They did it on camera, but then you see how they would play to it. So remember that scene. The girl now got sexually assaulted, had to call her boyfriend on camera on national television, tell him that she cheated. He's devastated. Whatever. They break up or whatever. Now Tyra comes in and out of nowhere decides to have a talk about cheating in relationships. Has anyone ever cheated? Have you ever been cheated on? I always say, once a cheater, always a cheater. And you know, you shouldn't cheat because it's like, just get out the, like, literally just putting the dagger further in this girl's leg back, like just gut-wrenching her already in a traumatizing experience. Then you'll see like one there, the challenges just got crazy because remember, they were just trying to keep us satisfied. Me and Tanea were obsessed with the show. I remember
Obsessed
we
for
watched,
real.
we would come back to school the next day, like, oh my God, did you watch it? Oh my gosh, who's the
It be on top?
Yes, like we were like enthralled with it. So they be like they started knowing like they got to do more and more to satisfy the viewers. So that's why the challenges started just getting outlandish. If you can remember this one, best friend, where they had to like play off of like a violent murder or wait, like, you know,
I
like
remember the one they had to be different races.
yes. Oh, so
I
that's
remember when you had to be eight. I said, what? Kind of
yes,
what? I thought that was very
blackface.
weird.
They're doing
Yes.
blackface, brownface.
Yes.
Yes. So the one where they had to play different violent crimes, they knew, the girl told them that her mother got shot by a jealous ex and was paralyzed. Tanea, why did they make her reenact being shot in the head? Like, it was like she knew, she said, I knew they wanted to get this reaction from me on screen, but I didn't give them that. I just focused on the job because she still slayed that challenge. But I didn't even know that behind, like, the girl's mom had gotten shot. Like, what?
I had no idea.
So mind you, the whole time they're reliving, people are reliving their trauma. We didn't even, I didn't even get into what she did to Miss J, Mr. J, and Nigel. But
Because the real drag is, why haven't you gone and seen Miss J? And if it wasn't for
absolutely,
him, you would not be who you are,
you
Tyra.
never see Tyra take any accountability. What Tyra is saying is, it was all coming from higher ups, and she was just doing her job because she knew that even she could be replaced. And she loved this show. It was her brainchild, and she was dedicated to the show. So you never really see her taking to accountability. And I had to look it up. I was like, wait, where is Tyra from again? Oh, that's right. She's from LA. Tyra is every sense of LA girl. And I'm not going to further explain myself. Like, me and Tanae have both lived in LA. We actually have really good friends from LA. There's a difference, but you know, people that's like really from like, you know, like the real
People
humble.
who want to be famous, the people who
Right.
want to make something out of LA
Absolutely.
are very pretentious, very fake. They want
Absolutely. And so
something
that's
from
what you get
you.
from Tyra. And let's not forget, Tyra has been rich and famous since she was a teenager, right? She has grown up as a supermodel. She became a supermodel as a teenager. So she has lived most of her life with access, okay? And so you are seeing that she is not loyal to anybody. Down to when Jay wanted to quit the show, she like shaded him. Like she said, I'm disappointed. And so from there, they went from being best friends to she only would talk to him while they were filming. And so he just played it up because he was still on the show for 10 more seasons after he said he wanted to quit but didn't. Then up until they just decided to fire him, Nigel and Miss J. That they was there from day one. We're really the heart and soul of that show because we all were looking for what Miss J was going to say to the girls, teaching them how to walk, and Jay with directing the girls through the photo shoots, and Nigel just being the hot photographer and having a balanced a viewpoint during the judging. And she just dropped them like a bad habit, and she took no accountability because she said it came from the higher ups, and she knew that she could be next. Which we end up seeing did happen, right? Because we now at this point, I had checked out. I watched up until the co-ed seasons when they brought on Don Benjamin. Those were still like seasons I watched. When they got rid of Tyra and brought on Rita Ora, I checked out. I never watched one
That
season.
was
I
stupid.
think they only did it for two seasons and then the show got canceled. So yeah, Tyra did get replaced, but it just shows like she had no loyalty. She ended the show like, you know, we all got to be accountable for our shit. So I thank y'all.
And
For holding.
I really feel like she could have did more. I understand what she's saying, but I feel like she was the Tyra. I feel like if she would have pulled the, if you fire them, I will leave and watch your show without me. I feel like she could have did more. I don't think she really did enough to
Absolutely.
save it. I really think she's like, okay.
Another thing is, so then they talk about how, you know, none of the girls, okay, who is the most successful winner of Top Model?
Eva.
Exactly. And what do we really know Eva for that she became successful in after Top Model?
Acting and being a
Exactly, not
housewife,
modeling. So
not
what they show
modeling.
you is how what happened, because this is the early days. This is before Olandria, right? Olandria went on a reality show and is now a top model, runway, superstar, influencer on every red carpet. 20 years ago, when you went on a reality show, it was stigmatized. So they became stigmatized in the fashion world. Nobody wanted to hire them because the designers felt like their people are now going to come to my show to see Dani. They're not coming to see me. Dani said after she won, she sat in the model apartment for months, not getting any bookings. She was in the model house with Chanel Iman, and they were good friends. And Chanel Iman told her she went, they had the same agent. One time she asked the agent, like, why isn't Dani getting any bookings? He was like, oh, because she's from Top Model. Nobody wants to hire anybody from Top Model. And so 15 years after the fact, after she struggled her for all of her career until she left modeling, she finally bumps into Tyra again. And Tyra is like, I knew you were struggling. I knew that by winning this show, it was going to be bad for your modeling career. And one of my biggest regrets is not doing anything about it, even though I knew you were struggling. Because you got to think, this is Tyra Banks. She could have easily changed that. She could have easily been like, no, well, I'm going to put her on a runway, or I'm going to put her here. I'm going to, you know what I mean? Or really champion these girls that are putting your show on the map. No, she's so heartbroken. A lot of the girls are really heartbroken. So to just see all the pain that came from it and then the lack of accountability from Tyra, mama, as iconic as you are, you got to get this drag, honey.
Yeah, and like I said, I can't believe you just acted like Miss J didn't exist. The moment I find out somebody I used to work closely with and we still have an okay relationship had a stroke and can't even walk, why you ain't got no job, Tyra? Go to
And
his
then
house.
he said that right before she the documentary, whatever, she texted him like, oh, I'm gonna come see you soon, but it hasn't happened yet.
Watch it happen
LA.
now.
And you
Because
over
watch it
here
happen
releasing this
now.
ice cream that nobody care about. Let's just be real. Bitch, don't nobody care about that damn ice cream. You had us at season 25, cycle 25. You could get us there, but if you ain't gonna do right by now, I think she, because remember this, she said that at the end of the documentary. I think now we're seeing this response. I think she's gonna rethink that cycle 25 because right now This documentary did not redeem yourself. You got to do real damage control. We need to see you in pictures with Miss J, with Jay Alexander, with Nigel Barker. We got to see the gang back together. And you got to, that ice cream ain't doing it for you, boo-boo. So you got to figure something else out of how you.
Because they did a whole thing about like Nigel and Jay Alexander did a whole post like they had to keep reiterating that Tyra did not produce this because a lot of people didn't want anything to do with it if Tyra was like behind it because they felt like it wouldn't be honest. And so they had to, they did this whole Instagram live, which I was kind of looking at on Threads, and it was like, we want to reiterate, Tyra is not the producer. It is not her thing. Everything shown is by a non-biased third party.
Because it would have been nice to see her get confronted.
Yes.
Or at least, if not by the former contestants, at least have her sit down. You see the three, Jay, Nigel, and Jay get together. You see them get together, but you don't see Tyra. Tyra just talks about herself and her confessional. And it's just like, I don't know. I don't know. So, yeah, she gets my piss poor. She gets my piss poor. Sorry, girl. Not sorry. But it was a good documentary.
Remember that song she did? Shake it, buddy, buddy.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that failed music career. But, yeah, you didn't fail at the reality show. Hands up. It's still iconic. It was ahead of its time. It really did set the stage for where reality television is now. And we give you credit for that. But, yeah, you got to redeem yourself, mama. But all right, let's get into who we're actually rooting for as part of our yes segments. Okay, best friend, who you got?
I am honestly rooting for two drag queens on RuPaul's Drag Race season 18. Plain Jane had did an interview like a couple weeks ago and she said that there weren't any stars in the season. And I was just like, But as the season is going on, I'm finding them. My first half of the yes is Darlene Mitchell. She is growing on me every week. I think she is funny. I love how she kind of called Athena out for Athena trying to be like, well, you guys had a method of your voting, and I feel like we were fair. She's like, girl, you literally voted for your Miami people and had an alliance with everybody. Now when it comes to you, it wasn't. And also, I think she's funny. She gives, like, top energy, like a kind of sneak attack, where she's going to keep getting better and better the more comfortable she gets. And she gave away those clunky shoes and listened to the judges and started wearing stilettos. And my other half of the yes is, even though you did worse in the lip sync, it was Vita Von-T's star. You just look like a good energy. I've been seeing all the queens say that you were literally the one of the best things to happen to like the season, and that everybody was crying when you left, but you look very positive. I watched her What You're Packing with Michelle Visage and how she does everything in drag, from carpentry to building sets to making dresses for other queens to like, she's just like an all around queen. And she's from Alabama, a place where of course it's not easy to be gay, let alone a drag queen. So I just know you're going to be big. I can see you being one of like the next Utica in terms of like making dresses for people. So I'm rooting for both of y'all queens. Darlene, I hope you make it far. I don't know if you'll win, but I hope you make it at least the top three or four. And Vita, I'm wishing you well. Who you rooting for?
Yes. Shout out to Vita. You know, I thought she was boring, but she always could turn a look on that runway.
Yeah, I knew from that. I said, oh no, she don't know what's going on. Baby is not gonna do
Okay, so I am rooting for Real Housewives of Potomac season 10. And now, you know, we just got the first part of the reunion. It's just, you know, confirming that this was a 10 out of 10 season. And it was a good bounce back after some, you know, kind of dismal seasons prior. I think they had a good cast, some good energy. Even the people who didn't really have storylines, Ashley, Giselle, they still just meshed well into the group and the remaining storylines. And what we're seeing on this reunion is just that dynamic that it worked. With Stacey, she is the new fave. It just is what it is. They got a
I have to catch up too. I have to, like I said, I have to binge a couple shows that's top on it because I've been looking at the clips and it looks like really, really good. And I feel like a lot of them are a little bit mad that Stacey is like even better than Wendy jealous. A little bit. Yeah, they're a little jealous. Yeah,
a little jealous. But oh my God, when Wendy got into it with Angel, and because when Angel said she had Forrest Whitaker eyes, asshole mouth and Forrest Whitaker eyes, and Wendy said, how would you feel if I said you look like James Earl Jones?
And all I've been seeing is memes and of them next to each other, like, and oh I can't gosh. Get it out my
head. Yes, I'm like, wait, why did... Why did that be? Why is that so accurate? Like, and at
Simba.
the end of the day, Angel brought it on herself by saying, calling
She
her Forrest
did.
Whitaker. So it's like,
She
oh
did.
my gosh, I don't care what anybody says. I really need Angel to come back though. I
I
need her
mean,
to come.
I don't mind Angel, but Kiana just seems angry. Her energy
Yeah.
is
And you know what? And you
negative.
see she addressed that at the reunion. 'Cause yes, you know you came off. There's no way you watch this season back and don't think like, okay, yeah, I'm not even just a bitch. You're not even a bitch. It was like just coming off just angry and hostile. And it's like, for what, girl? Calm down. It's like you was looking for a moment every scene and you coming off just mad, hot, aggressive and hot. Like, pipe down, girl.
Yeah, making up things, like just
But the
making
fact
up
that there was
issues.
no Karen, no Juan's roommate, no, who was that? Maya,
Oh, Mia the liar.
so irrelevant. Like, it just showed like all of them, you know, and granted, we love the Grand Dame, but it's like, the way this season was still so good without her, and now I'm looking forward to her being back this next season. I know it's even going to be better, but it just shows they got something good here. So let's keep it going. And so they get my yes, they get my yes. I'm looking forward to the remaining two episodes of this reunion. But yeah, Real Housewives of Potomac is back, baby.
And I can't wait to watch it on Peacock because it was kind of like the Salt Lake City. At least like that is unfiltered, uncensored.
Yes,
I love
because
the
they was dropping
Peacock
the F
watch.
bombs
Yes.
and
I
D
always
words.
wait. I have the Bravo app, but I'm always gonna wait for it to come on Peacock because it's just so much better. It's
So much
so
better.
much better.
But all right, y'all, don't forget to like and subscribe, rate and review, follow us on social media at We Watch Too Much TV. That's TEA with the letter V. We will be taking a little pre-spring break. So we'll be back in about like 2 weeks. But before we get out of here, we got to leave you with some positive affirmations as we continue on through this Black History Month into a powerful Women's History Month. So let's get into some positivity.
Positive vibes, positive vibes.
Okay, what do you have, best friend?
Am not afraid of storms, for I am learning how to sail my ship by a black queen named Mary McLeod Bethune. And I remember her because I played her in a third grade play. What is your positive quote of the week?
Mine is powerful. You already know. I am America. I am the part you won't recognize. But get used to me. Black, confident, cocky. My name, not yours. My religion, not yours. My goals, my own. Get used to me. By Muhammad Ali, baby. That was good.
Love him. Rest in
Period.
peace.
He's a black icon. All right, y'all. Thank y'all so much. We will be back in the month of March. Stick with us. And our closing slogan is
Love, abundance, and black hair bundles because I
black.
really know y'all got the hair bundles from us.
Period.
Okay? Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.